Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. John Bunyan wrote the classic book, Pilgrim's Progress. If you read it today, the transcendence of biblical truth will impact your life right here in the 21st century. Bunyan was so immersed in the Word of God. Charles Spurgeon said of him, "If you cut him, he would bleed Scripture." My friend Rick Rogers is in studio with me, and we can say the same thing about who we have in studio with us as our guest. You know, Rick Rogers has been here in studio with me before. He's, in some ways, he's sort of like my co-host. Every time he comes into town from the Pacific Northwest, he representing Moody Bible Institute, he comes in. But today, he set up a meeting with someone who's sitting with us. Well, I think if you cut him, he would bleed Scripture. Well, Rick Rogers, let's talk a little bit about him before we talk about our guest today. Rick Rogers is the regional representative of Moody Bible Institute. We're talking Hawaii, California, Nevada, and Oregon. I mean, his region might have even grown. He can update us on that. Plus, including broadcasting, publishing, missions, aviation, there are, catch this now, 40,000 alumni and growing right now from Moody serving the Lord around the globe. Mr. Moody, a simple man, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to over an estimated 100 million people without television or radio. Well, let me just pause for a moment here at the beginning of our show to remind you that there is the same essence. As much as Mr. Moody had an evangelistic heart, well, we have an evangelistic heart too. We're here to lead you to faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't know the Lord personally, we're here to remind you that God loves you, that Christ loves you so much He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And the living Christ calls you to Himself at this very moment, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing. And my friend, if you are already walking with the Lord, you're a Christian, you're a Christ follower, perhaps you need a boost of encouragement, a little bit of inspiration. Well, we're here to build you up as well. Okay, so you're at the right place at the right time. Well, Rick Rogers, today, Rick Rogers has brought a very dear friend of both of ours, someone we've admired and respected for many years as a leader and faithful expositor of God's Word. His name is Dr. Rick Bartosik. He's a graduate of Moody Bible Institute and Trinity International University and Dallas Theological Seminary. He graduated from Dallas Seminary with a Master's of Theology degree and a Doctor of Ministry degree. He earned the John G. Mitchell Award for Outstanding Scholarship and Effectiveness in Ministry. Dr. Bartosik came to Hawaii in 1977 to pioneer the Hawaii Prison Ministry of the Good News Jail and Prison Ministry. He was chaplain for our state prison system from 1997 to 1990, serving as senior chaplain for the Corrections Division of the State of Hawaii and regional director of the Good News Jail and Prison Ministry. What he developed was astonishing, a comprehensive ministry of the gospel developed in our state prison system which consisted of a dynamic inmate church, more than 500 volunteers from 80 local churches, and a team of 4 full-time Good News Jail and Prison Ministry chaplains. He even received an honorary certificate of recognition from the Hawaii State House of Representatives for his leadership in the prison system. He also served as Dean of International College and Graduate School and has traveled overseas to teach pastors and Christian leaders in Korea and Russia. He's a senior pastor of Mililani Community Church, a member of the Evangelical Free Church of America, where he serves on the board of directors there of the Hawaii District. He's married to Diane, who also graduated from Moody Bible Institute. They have one son, David. Rick and David, they enjoy their father and son special moments. They love to fly fish, fly fishing trips to Montana during their summer vacations. Well, Rick Rogers and Dr. Rick Bartosik, welcome to our show.
It's great to be here.
Thank you, Danny.
Well, Rick Rogers, give me an update. You know, you're back here in studio. When you come through, I always, you know, enjoy having you with me. What's happening with
Moody?
Well,
we're traveling the world for Moody right now, and they have just included Seattle up through Canada, down in and through the state of Washington in my territory. So now it'll be the whole West Coast region, really. And we're excited to see what God's doing at our Spokane campus, Michigan, and also in Chicago. 800 students will be on campus in September in Spokane alone, which is the highest we've ever had. And it's exciting that people don't need to leave the West Coast now or the Pacific. They can stay on this side of the world. And through distance learning, they can do it here in Hawaii. So we're thrilled.
If somebody wants to connect with Moody and find out how they could, how within the plan of God for their lives, they might intersect or interface with Moody Bible Institute. How could they do that?
MoodyMinistries.net or 1-800-DL-MOODY. Those two addresses or phone number can reach. They can call and talk to someone personally or look on the web, and whether it be distance learning or on-campus learning, there's all kinds of venues that a person can have, and especially out here in the islands. I was just in Hilo last week, and they want to do it online, so go online. 4-year accredited degree, and if you want to go further, then come to Chicago.
Well, we are certainly living in a dynamic time, where life is moving at a very rapid pace, and the training is important to utilize the tools that God gives us, but to sharpen the edges of the so-called swords of our lives in the hands of God. Moody is one of those one of the most pristine institutions to do just that. And have done so for many years. I hear the bells chiming, dear brother. I mean, that's we're talking about history. We're talking about heritage, and we're talking about legacy of Mr. Moody, and legacy of the many. I mean, I've got this book you gave me in my hands. We're not messing around here. I mean, we're talking a martyr's grace. What did you say? 21
martyrs, students.
All the way up to 2000, what, 2001?
2001.
21 students over the last, numerous decades have given their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the education, where does education come to instill not just something in your mind, but something that literally transforms your heart, that is working in the hand of the Spirit of the Lord in our lives to live with that kind of clarity, focus, and dedication. And this is just an example. There are many who are alive in the Lord and alive, who are making an impact to literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions all over the world. We've got a distinguished graduate of Moody Bible Institute. You brought together the three of us together as very dear friends for many years. Now, why did you have this person in mind that's sitting here today? He's an expositor. You cut him, he'll bleed scripture. I pretty much vouch for that. What's your connection with Dr. Bartosik?
Well, Dr. Bartosik, or Rick, we've kind of known each other through International College over the years, and that was an exciting thing. And then I was excited to hear about the John G. Mitchell Award because I knew Dr. Mitchell. And if anyone was a godly saint of the Lord, Dr. Mitchell was. And so in order for our brother Rick here to receive that kind of honor, it just tells me what kind of guy he is. And I've been thankful over the years to know of his Good News Mission involvement and Dr. Simmer and the folks that were involved with that ministry. And I think we're humbled by our student body that's serving the Lord with their lives around the world. And Mr. Moody was a humble servant, and people called him Crazy Moody because he had such a humble spirit and loved and cried and prayed for the children of Chicago. But when Abraham Lincoln saw Mr. Moody and came and visited his little ministry one night, all of a sudden it wasn't Crazy Moody they talked about. They talked about Brother Moody.
Mm.
And so I think that humble spirit of Moody Ministries, we pray that will continue through people like Rick, his wife, and 40,000 others around the world.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Bartosik, you went to Moody. Why did you choose to launch your ministry training preparation there?
Well, I was born in a Christian home where my mom and dad were just really baby Christians when I was born. My mom was born and raised on a farm in central Illinois. She was a farmer's daughter and decided to go to Chicago for nurses training. And there in nurses training, she met a group of nurses that were leading a Bible study, and they invited her to attend. And she'd gone to church all of her life in a little Methodist church out in the country. But when she heard the gospel for the first time and began to study the Bible with these friends, she realized she didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And her nursing student friends led her to the Lord. My dad grew up in a Catholic home in the inner city of Chicago. He was an altar boy. The family went to church every Sunday. But my dad didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord either. And one day he was, as a young man, he was trying to rescue some people out of a burning building in Chicago, but he was overcome by the fumes, and the firemen had to rescue him, and he ended up in the hospital with severe burns on his back. So there he is in the hospital recovering, and a dear old black man went from room to room in that hospital sharing the gospel with the patients there in Chicago. And there, for the first time in his life, my dad heard a clear presentation of the gospel, and laying there on his stomach with these bad burns, mm-hmm. as this elderly gentleman shared the gospel, he trusted Christ as his Savior. Mm-hmm. And in God's providence, his nurse was my mom. Mm-hmm. And so they met there in the hospital, and they fell in love. They were married, and as I was born, my mom was an enthusiastic new Christian, and she wanted to fill my little head full of Bible verses, as you said. Mm. She didn't teach me nursery rhymes. She taught me John 3:16 and Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and so forth. And Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So but by the time I was about four, the Spirit of God was working on my little heart through the scripture that my mother crammed into my head. And eventually I became convicted that I was a sinner, that I needed a Savior. And I remember very vividly, somewhere between three and four, sitting on our kitchen table, dangling my legs over the edge and asking my mom if she would pray with me so that I could pray and trust Jesus as my Savior. And that was, of course, a life-transforming experience. And then my mom was a very enthusiastic supporter of Child Evangelism Fellowship. I think it's one of the greatest ministries to young people as well as children in the world today. And she hosted a five-day club in our home, or perhaps it was a Good News Club. And I remember one day the teacher drew a circle on the floor, and she said, anyone, I was about seven then, she said, anyone who would like to give their whole lives to Jesus to serve him in any way that he might call you to serve him, step into that circle. So at seven, probably I was in second grade, I stepped into that circle, and I vividly remember saying, Lord Jesus, just take my life and use me in any way you choose to use me. About 2 years later, we had a missions conference at our church, and the pastor invited young people to come up who would like to give their lives to full-time Christian service if the Lord would lead them in that way, to serve him in any way that he would choose to call them. And I went forward in that missions conference. So by the time I was 9 years old, my life direction was set in terms of having come to know Jesus and then giving my life fully to him to serve him in any way he would choose, and believing that he was calling me into some kind of full-time service for him. So when I graduated from high school, where I was a leader in our Youth for Christ club in high school in Wisconsin, I applied to Moody. And it seemed like the natural thing to do, to go to Moody Bible Institute and study and prepare for the Lord's work, whatever that might be. And it was, again, a life-transforming strategic time at Moody that, again, set my course biblically and theologically for the rest of my life and ministry there at Moody.
We talk about foundations. I think about your mom teaching you the scriptures, you know, virtually from when you were born. She was probably reading scriptures to you while you were in the womb.
Could be.
I mean, but here's what's a solid example, of what you are, Doctor, is you're still clear. There's still that vividness of your calling, and over the years it has seasoned, it has ripened, and you're still growing and going and building strong for the Lord. What an example. Sometimes we talk about, and we've got to be careful that we don't glamorize or over glamorize someone coming from the mean streets or the dark side or the dregs of life. And the Lord redeemed, that's the redemptive power of Christ too. So we're not negating that, but the value of someone growing up in the Lord. And I know there are many parents who are listening right now that have come from rough backgrounds, that want to raise their children in that way, but you're an encouragement to see how over the years, wow, the impact can continue to grow. Now, of course, you're talking about Moody. I've got Rick Rogers here with us. We're all together talking about Moody Bible Institute and the impact that the institution has had on your life. And we're going to take a quick break right now. But when we come back, you went from Moody and you went on for further studies. Those studies included a very distinguished institution. One led to the next. I mean, perhaps the preparation of Moody allowed you to have the kind of foundation that you needed to study at a place like Dallas Theological Seminary. I'm thinking about expositors. The list goes on. The Chuck Swindolls. That's just the beginning. When we come back, we'll hear more from Dr. Rick Bartosik. Stay with us.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Dwight Lyman Moody, D.L. Moody, he said, "There are many of us that are willing to do great things for the Lord, but few of us are willing to do little things." How about you? Are you willing to do the little things? Jesus taught us about doing the little things well, and then we'll be entrusted with more. Where are you on that? That's something I'm still working on. I want to do the things that the Lord has given me to do it faithfully, and to do it well. Are you there with me? Hey, you're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. My featured guest today, I've got Rick Rogers here. He's the regional director of Moody Bible Institute, and Dr. Rick Bartosik is in studio. Dr. Bartosik is a graduate of Moody and also of Dallas Theological Seminary. Before our break, he was talking to us about how through the Lord's intricate, delicate, purposeful way led him to begin his theological biblical training at Moody Bible Institute. Of course, he's gone on. That gave him a great foundation, but he went to Dallas Seminary. We're talking about the likes of Chuck Swindoll, Howard Hendricks, Charles Ryrie. Some of you might have the Ryrie Study Bible. There's a direct connection there. And we could go on and on. Dr. Bartosik, what was it like studying at Dallas Theological Seminary?
Well, that too was a rich experience. As I said, I think my theological foundations initially came at Moody Bible Institute. I had a great professor who taught a course in the doctrine of salvation at Moody, Dr. Charles Horn. I don't know if Rick Rogers remembers him or not.
I don't.
But that was a rich course in soteriology, and it laid the foundation to give me an absolute confidence in the sovereign grace of God and salvation. So I think my theological training began at Moody. I had great teachers. Many of them were Dallas Seminary teachers. Mm-hmm. And I went on to college and got I took a lot of liberal arts courses then at Trinity International University for a couple of years, and majored in history, which was very invaluable training for the ministry, and then went on to Dallas Theological Seminary and sat under the rich teaching of many of the great professors and teachers that...
Which one left the most indelible impression on you?
Well, over the years, different ones have impacted me. I remember when I was at Moody, I was bored by the teaching of Dr. S. Lewis Johnson when I was a young 18-year-old, 17-year-old kid at Moody. He was a profound New Testament scholar. Today, I deeply appreciate his ministry and have been deeply enriched by it. Dr. S. Lewis Johnson, who was the head of the New Testament department then. The person, of course, that appealed to me the most when I heard him speak at Moody and then sat in his classes at Dallas, I think you know who I'll say, Howie Hendricks, Dr. Mm-hmm. Howard Hendricks. And one famous little quip by Dr. Hendricks was, "Whenever you preach, somebody always bleeds. Either you do before or they do during," or something to that effect. Not bleeds, but I forget what it is off the top of my head. Somebody always sweats. I'm sorry. "Whenever you preach, someone always sweats. Either you do before or they do during." And he was a great teacher. I would, when I would go into his classroom, the bell would ring for the old that class to leave and the new class to come in, and guys would literally push through the doors to try and get in the front row to sit under Howie Hendricks's ministry. He was a great teacher. I took Bible study methods with him and a course in marriage and biblical counseling, and those were rich courses. I also appreciated Dr. Don Campbell, and his expository teaching ministry made a big impact on my life. He taught the Pentateuch at Dallas, and I still enjoy those notes and use them from my time at Dallas Seminary. So Dallas was extremely strategic in laying a solid biblical foundation for me to have a lifetime of expounding God's Word, simply teaching the Word of God to others.
I'm amazed at what the Holy Spirit can do. Because here's a person, Rick Rogers. I'm looking at Dr. Bartosik here, and I'm thinking, you can't talk to him. He's going to talk about the Bible. He'll leak out scriptures. But then every once in a while, he'll throw out words like soteriology. He'll throw out words like Pentateuch. And how does a guy like that get involved in the Hawaii prison ministry and do it for year after year after year, connecting with people? So you mentioned about Dr. Hendricks. I heard years ago, I was listening to, I guess back then it was cassette tapes, right? I'm listening to a cassette tape, and this one really stood out. He was speaking to his audience, and he said he had people who were believers come up to him and say, Dr. Hendricks, we want to reach out to people, and we invite them to our house, but Dr. Hendricks, they smoke. What should we do? And Dr. Hendricks said, well, put out ashtrays. I once heard, if we're going to win the world to Christ, we have to sit in the smoking section. And in a way, in a very real way, Dr. Bartosik, you went into the smoking section of the prison ministry here. How did that happen?
Well, when I was still in school, my dad had been, he was a believer. He came to know Christ, as I told you, in that hospital in Chicago after trying to rescue people from a burning building where he was overcome by the fumes and then badly burned and survived. But my dad was an electronics engineer and served in the Air Force for many years. And after he left the Air Force, he had been an alcoholic from the time he was 17 years old. And the Lord delivered him completely from alcoholism when I was about 18 years old. Just the same year I left for Moody Bible Institute, the Lord completely delivered him from alcoholism. And he felt burdened to go full-time into the ministry himself as a rescue mission director, reaching guys that are down and out, are struggling, like Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. But he started it on Last Chance Gulch in Helena, Montana. An interesting name, Last Chance Gulch. And he called it the Helena Rescue Mission. And he had guys come in, and he would have local church pastors preaching the gospel every evening to them, provide clothing for them in a few days for them to recuperate, and churches in the community would provide clothing, and the grocery stores would provide food for his ministry. But he also had been before that in Reno, Nevada, and he started his while he was there in Reno, being trained to be a superintendent for a rescue mission. He had a ministry in the Nevada State Prison, in the high security prison. And of all things, the high security prison in Nevada, Carson City, Nevada, is in the center of that high security prison is the old hideout for Geronimo. Mm. It's a rock fortress, and it's in the middle of this prison. And today, or back in those days, in that rock fortress, in that cave, there was nothing but a dry, sandy floor and some chairs and a light bulb you could switch on. And that's where the weekly Bible study was held that my dad taught. in Carson City, Nevada, in the state penitentiary, and we'd go through all these bars and gates to get in there. And I, when I was on vacation and at home, I would accompany my dad to the Nevada State Penitentiary and sit in on his Bible study with these hardcore inmates. So when I was at Dallas Seminary and graduating, and Bill Simmer, the director of the Good News Mission, came looking for a new chaplain for the ministry in Maryland, they said, well, here's someone that's had an experience in prison ministry. He accompanied his dad to the high security facility of Nevada State Penitentiary, so maybe he's interested. And so they put my name down. And the next thing I knew, as the Lord led, I accepted that call to join the staff of the Good News Jail and Prison Ministry, just called the Good News Mission at that time. They plugged me in as the chaplain of the Montgomery County, Maryland jail. And I met all the Watergate defendants there, including Chuck Colson, because they were all housed in my jail. Hmm. They didn't want to house them in the jail in Washington, D.C., because they knew these guys would probably be killed, murdered by the other inmates. So they put him in the Montgomery County jail, where I was the chaplain. I had a chance to minister and present the gospel to E. Howard Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy and all these various guys of the Watergate era back in the 70s. Mm. And I was there for about 3.5 years as the jail chaplain and had the joy of serving the Lord there. But I began to be restless and believe that I wanted to do more than simply do personal evangelism and short-term discipleship. In a jail, you're only working with inmates for a few months, and usually no more than a year before they're then convicted and sent to go through trial and then sent on to a state penitentiary. But about that time, the Lord had opened the doors for our ministry to come to Hawaii and provide the chaplaincy for the state of Hawaii. It began with a Bill Glass crusade. He came in and did an evangelism crusade for a weekend with the inmates, along with a citywide crusade. And there were some pastors that were allowed to follow up with his crusade and to do some a six-week series of discipleship courses. The prison was basically locked down at that time. There were no volunteers allowed in the prison. It had gone through a terrible time of turmoil. Nelson Doy, the lieutenant governor, had been involved in the chairman of the prison task force to clean up a lot of the corruption. So there was really nothing going on in the prison in terms of any kind of volunteer programs, except these pastors for their 6 weeks of follow-up from the Bill Glass Crusade. And at the end of that follow-up time, they asked the warden of the prison if they could perhaps come in and do Sunday services, because there were no Sunday services going on. And he allowed them to come in and do that, and they began a little Sunday service. And then they realized they were way over their heads. They didn't know how to do prison ministry, what was involved in it. So they invited Dr. Bill Simmer to come out from Washington, D.C., and train them in prison ministry. And then they began to realize, we don't need training in prison ministry. We need a full-time chaplain that we can support. And so thanks to Nelson Doy, who was the lieutenant governor at the time, he came out to Washington, D.C., and we had about 2,000 or more people at a banquet. He brought pineapples for every person that was there, and the Aloha Singers from Aloha Airlines. Wow. And they put on quite a presentation, and he said, we need a Good News Mission chaplain in Hawaii. And he promoted it, and so the mission chose to send me as that chaplain, and they shut down the state position and invited the Good News Mission to provide the state chaplaincy program for the state of Hawaii. And I was the pioneer chaplain then that had the joy of laying the foundation for a comprehensive ministry of the gospel in our state prison system. That was in 1977. I came to Hawaii on February 17th, 1977, which is Henry Opuka Haia Sunday, the third Sunday in February. Mm. The next morning I was in jail, spent the next 14 years in and out of jail and prison as the chaplain. And God blessed in a marvelous way in terms of seeing the lives of inmates. Key inmate leaders were transformed by the gospel, and they became the bridges of God to impact the entire prison for Christ, and I had the joy of discipling. Here I was, a skinny Howley, having the toughest, roughest, meanest, most dangerous guys in the prison in my office day in and day out, and I'm sure many of the guards and others wondered, what is that Howley doing with all these guys back there who are guys that used to threaten the lives of other inmates, who even scare us, and now they're over there with that skinny Howley in his office. What are they doing? Well, I was discipling them, equipping them to be the leaders of the church behind bars.
Church behind bars.
And then God used them to impact and turn that prison upside down for the Lord.
Rick Rogers, somehow, as Dr. Bartosik is elaborating in just a fascinating detail. I mean, we're talking about history even here in Hawaii and the names that he's mentioning. And then we're talking about national history when you talk about G. Gordon Liddy's and the Chuck Colson's. And somehow, in my mind's eye, perhaps there's a glint in the eye of D.L. Moody. Perhaps there's a sparkle in the eye of Dr. Howard Hendricks. And maybe there's a nod of affirmation from our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And they say in a way that resonates, there you go, Rick, you're our guy. And Jesus says, that's my boy. A man who is willing to go where God leads and not look back. And to live the moment, not guilty of the past, not stressed out over the future, but responding to God's call. We're going to take a quick break right now. But do you know that today, right now, this moment, is a gift from God? And the gospel of Jesus Christ allows us to live in that moment, in this moment. We can be free from our guilt because of the blood of Christ, the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf. And we don't have to be overwhelmed by the future because the Lord has our future in His hands if we trust Him. Would you trust Him? Would you put your life in His hands like Rick Bartosik, like Rick Rogers, like me? Hey, join us if you haven't. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
D.L. Moody says, faith makes all things possible. Love makes all things easy. Isn't that good? Where are you today? Are you struggling with love in your heart because you've been wronged? You're a victim of injustice. Hey, we've all been there. But you say, Danny, you don't know. You don't know how bad I've been. My back is full of knife wounds. My friend, I think we all can experience that. I'm not downplaying what you've gone through. It's legitimate, absolutely legitimate what you're facing. But with Christ, there can be healing, and with healing, through healing, forgiveness, and they go hand in hand. And we're here to minister to you, and we're here to reach out because Christ has brought us together. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. My featured guest today, I've got Rick Rogers in studio and Dr. Rick Bartosik. If you're tuning in right now, you've got to hear this entire show. And you can get a free podcast at thegoodlifehawaii.com. As you listen to it, you'll hear God's miraculous work in the life of our guest here, Dr. Bartosik, and how God used the Moody Bible Institute to lay the foundation to take a man from Wisconsin and all the way bring him here to Hawaii for years. And he really, in a way, he's never left. I mean, he goes back to visit, but he's raised his family here, and he's his life has been so much a part of, connected with many, many people. Rick, you and I go back in a very tender time and a very precarious situation. Why don't you share a little bit about how we met?
All right. I was the chaplain of the state prison system from 1977 to about 1991. And during that time, one of my volunteers was your beloved father, David Yamashiro, and he had a wonderful ministry for many years as a volunteer in our ministry. And one day, David came to me and he said, Rick, my son, Danny, just fell off the poly, fell 400 feet, and he survived. And he's badly wounded, of course, and he's in the hospital right now. Would you like to come and pray with him? And I said, I'd be delighted to, David. So I went and prayed there with you as an 18-year-old young man lying there in the hospital, miraculously saved from this fall. And that's how we met, through your father, one of my volunteers in the prison ministry that I appreciated so much. And we've known each other since that time. Mm-hmm. You were 17 or 18 years old at that time.
Right. And I appreciate your prayers. You being there, you coming at such a precarious moment in the life of our family. And how God answered your prayers and that of others, many others who prayed. I'm living by the grace of God. I'm alive by the grace of God. And I thank you. Our connection, it goes beyond that. I mean, when I came back from Talbot Seminary, Biola University, the Lord gave me a vision for a world ministry. And you were on the original board of directors of the Jesus Christ is Calling You ministry. When I got ordained, Rick Rogers, Dr. Rick Bartosik was on the ordination committee.
Okay.
He's a tough one, you know. So if you can answer his questions and get by, you know, it adds to you really what God, what it shows the weight of the importance of what God is doing and the importance of the biblical understanding, the theological foundation. So, Rick, you're very much endeared to my heart. I mean, there's wisdom that you've shared with me personally, time that we've spent. Your church for many years have been graciously supported us as we've gone in ministry, Mililani Community Church. So from prison ministry, you go to Mililani Community Church, and something is happening right now in Mililani that needs to certainly be marked, Rick Rogers, on radio by what God is doing. Get us up to speed on what's happening.
I've been the pastor of Mililani Community Church since 1995. After I became the pastor, we joined the Evangelical Free Church, and we've had a wonderful association with them because they have such a passion for church planting around the world. And we've been involved in various mission endeavors with the Evangelical Free Church. The Lord allowed us to purchase a piece of property in Mililani, Mauka, a number of years ago. we paid that off, and we've been saving our funds as people have enthusiastically and graciously and sacrificially given over the last few years to allow us now to put up the first phase of our new church facility, and we're really excited about that. We broke ground a few months ago on that property, and we will be completing this this first phase, the construction of the first phase, this fall. So we're excited that by the end of the year we should be able to move into our new facility. And as you know, Danny, it's churches throughout the islands here meet in public schools, and it's a big challenge to purchase property. It's so expensive, and even to build is so extremely expensive here in Hawaii that it's beyond many churches to be able to come up with the funding. And we're thankful that the Lord has allowed us to take this step now of having a permanent base of operation, a base from which we can proclaim the gospel in our community and in Hawaii and around the world. So we're very excited about that.
You spent extended period of time, of course, in Hawaii with the Good News Jail and Prison Ministry. One of the qualities that I see, and these are things, Rick Rogers, that you just observe. You may not interact all the time, but you observe faithfulness, consistency. You know that on any given Sunday, you go to Mililani Community Church. Well, Pastor Rick is going to open up the scriptures, and he's going to expound the Word of God. You're going to be fed the Word. And you've done that. What lessons has the Lord taught you through the years? If you could maybe distill two or three of the top lessons that you've learned over the years.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said faithfulness. I remember when I was in the prison ministry, I had been the prison chaplain for about 6 years, and a brother came to me, Stan Koki, our state senator for Kaneohe and then a candidate for lieutenant governor at one time. And he was on our board, our prison ministry board, and eventually. But he came to me after 6 years of observing my ministry, and he said, "Rick, are you going to be around very long here in Hawaii?" I'd already been here for 6 years. It takes time to gain credibility as a haole in Hawaii. And so after 6 years, he said, "Are you going to be around very long?" And I said, "Yes, Stan, I'm committed to this ministry of the gospel. I want God to be glorified. I want to see men come to know Christ in the prison. Yes, I'm committed to it." He said, "Well, then I'm willing to be committed to you, and I'm going to leave my business in the hands of my partner, and I want to go full-time with you for a year, because you desperately need help. You're the only chaplain here. There are 1,000 inmates. You need more chaplains, and I want to go with you full-time and help you develop the funds to provide more full-time chaplains for the prison ministry here in Hawaii." And that's what Stan did. He left one of the top carpet companies in Hawaii, left it in the hands of his partner for a year, and joined me full-time to develop the funding for our ministry, so that eventually, thanks to the help that Stan provided and God's grace, we ended up with 4 full-time chaplains fully funded here in Hawaii. And so I saw the value of simply being faithful and trusting the Lord, and then seeing how God uses the gifts of other people to complement your ministry, because you can't do everything yourself. God didn't intend you to. It takes the gifting of all God's people to accomplish His work. And I think that's one lesson that I take away, is that none of us can ever carry on the ministry God wants to accomplish in people's lives ourselves. It takes the gifting of the whole body of Christ as we all become involved, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, to then build up the body of Christ that it might come to maturity. So my job is to equip the saints as a pastor for the work of the ministry, and the work of the ministry is not my work. That's the work of every single believer as we multiply. My desire is to multiply ministries, not to monopolize the ministry. A pastor's job is not to monopolize the ministry, but to multiply it and encourage and develop the gifting of others who can carry on the ministry very fruitfully. I'm excited that as I as I teach God's word each Sunday, the folks that are there then scatter out all over the island to share Christ, to live the Christian life, to live lives of integrity in their businesses and among their family members and associates, and they are impacting thousands and thousands of people every week. So that motivates me to be as faithful as I can in studying God's word and helping them to grow in grace so that they can do the ministry God's called them to in the marketplace, as we say today. The real ministry is in the marketplace. It's mm-hmm. out there where people live, where they interact with you as a Christian. And my job as a pastor is to equip God's people so that they can be fruitful in multiplying the ministries through the impact they have with people I'll never know, I could never communicate with or touch or have any rapport with, but they do, whether it's in the legal profession, in the medical profession, in the construction business or whatever it is, or at McDonald's, wherever it might be, they are touching lives each day, and I have the joy of equipping them to do that. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a greater privilege than equipping God's people to do the work of the ministry and build up the body of Christ. And that's how God intends the ministry to be carried out, and that's what God intends pastors to do, not monopolize the ministry, but multiply ministries.
These are not only lessons learned, but these are encouraging words, because someone today is trudging along, and they're contemplating whether they should just throw in the towel. They're contemplating whether they missed their call because they've been going so long, giving so much, even running on empty, and they feel because there is a lack of fruit or their expectations are not being met based on where they thought they would be at this particular time, their hearts are hurting because of disappointment. We're going to take a quick break right now, but you know, as we well, you know, we won't take a break. Time is of the essence. Rick Rogers, I'd like for you to, you know, and just we just got a few moments left. Maybe as an evangelist, as a man of God, maybe you can pray for someone right now who is struggling in an area where they need prayer because they're discouraged. Could you do that?
Absolutely. Lord, we just come to you right now, not knowing where these airwaves are reaching into at the moment, Lord, but you do, and you know where each of the listeners are at in their own personal lives right now, and we would just ask in a very special way, Lord, that you would encourage and build up and strengthen each brother and sister that's listening. And Lord, there might be someone today that's listening that has not yet found the encouragement that they need for tomorrow or for the next moment of this day. And so we would ask, Lord, that you would just in a very special way reach down and touch each heart and the heart of the individual that needs you especially at this moment. Lord, we thank you for how you plant seeds in our hearts to continue on and to have a love that is only from you. And we just trust you, Lord, knowing that you love us more than anyone else in this world.
Yes.
And we just pray right now that you would just wrap your arms around each one. And Lord, if there's someone that's being called to ministry today because of this program, we pray that they might take the step of faith and step out on the journey and reach their world for you. Mm. And so, Lord, we just lay that before you right now. And for the one that's struggling, Lord, we pray that they'd reach out to you,
Jesus,
because you care. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dr. Bartosik, you, Rick, you can't do the things that you do if not for dear Diane, a woman of prayer. We've got a quick minute left or so. What's Diane doing and David?
Well, Diane and I met while I was in the prison ministry, and the brothers were praying for me to find a wife, and I brought Diane into the prison, and I was still uncertain, and they said, Rick, the Lord provided the perfect wife for you, now get on the ball and ask her to marry you. And she took a year's leave of absence from Pan Am. She was a flight attendant with Pan Am when we met. She took a year's leave of absence from Pan Am to go to Moody Bible Institute and take the Advanced Studies program, which is now a master's program. Mm-hmm. I proposed to her during that year, and when she came back to Hawaii after that year, we were married. And God gave us a wonderful son, David. He was born in 1984. When he was an infant, Diane would bring him into the prison so that the brothers in the church behind bars in the prison could meet him as a little infant. We'd have about 250 inmates in chapel on Sundays, and David and Diane would be in the front row, Diane holding this little newborn baby, so all the brothers could hug him, you know, and greet him, because they'd been praying for me to have a wife and also a child. And then the chief of security one day said, you know, Rick, I think David's just a little bit too young. Maybe we shouldn't be having him come into the prison too much more. So eventually, Diane, we decided we'd better not be bringing him into the prison, but at least the brothers for a few months got acquainted with David. And David went on to here to HBA, Hawaii Baptist Academy, and then went on to Biola University and graduated with a business degree. And we thought he was going to go on for a master's in business or something. But to our surprise, one day he said, Dad, I don't think I could be content just being a Christian businessman. I believe the Lord is calling me to be full-time in his work, and I'm going to go to Talbot Seminary. Wow. So he went to Talbot and got his Master of Divinity degree. He met his wife during that time. And after he graduated from Talbot, they went to Kosovo for a year and served in a Muslim ministry. Mm. That was a very rich time of growing and serving the Lord there in Pristina, Kosovo. They came back, and he was hired as the pastor of youth ministries at Richfield Community Church in Yorba Linda, California, where he and his wife are serving the Lord there. He has the joy of overseeing the entire ministry to college, high school, and junior high kids, and has a couple of interns from Talbot Seminary that work for him there. So it's kind of full circle there.
What an incredible legacy. Moody, we're talking about the legacy of the Lord through Dr. D.L. Moody and the other institutions, and through Dr. and Mrs. Rick Bartosik. I hope you've been encouraged today by the story of Dr. Bartosik and Rick Rogers. And you know what? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. And if you want to help us with your financial support, be part of the Good Life Partnership Club, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guests today, Rick Rogers and Dr. Rick Bartosik. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.